Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 205. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michelle Kaplan.
You can find, going French today.
Yes.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America on Instagram. Anywhere else, Kaplan?
Twitter. You can find me on Peloton if you're, you know, it's getting cold outside. So if you're doing your Peloton bikes, you can't go to the gym. Look me up at Cap in America. You will feel better about yourselves because I have the worst scores on the entire site. So you will
beat me. This show is at lostinamericapod.com. Kaplan, now we also have our Patreon page, patreon.com/lostinamerica. You get 3 extra episodes of us, just you and I, talking about life 3 times a week, 3 extra episodes. $5 a month.
What a bargain.
Gets you those shows. Now, for $10 a month, Kaplan,
you get
our new Lost in America t-shirts. We got the design in today. You know, we all know what we're talking about. We went to number one in Armenia a few weeks ago.
We did.
Number one comedy podcast in Armenia. Number 8 overall podcast, but we're celebrating the number one.
Number one looks better on a t-shirt than number 8.
Yeah, no one makes number 8 t-shirts.
We got
to number 8. So number 1 in Armenia for comedy, but we're leaving out the comedy. We just say number 1 in Armenia. The rough draft of the designs came in today from our friend Josh. They look awesome. It's like in the background, it's the country of Armenia. And then there's it says number 1 with number 1 in Armenia, and then there's a Lost in America logo on there. What do you think so far of these t-shirts?
I hope it includes the region of Artsakh in it, because that's what put us there. I hope that's in the map. I'll have to double check it.
You're right. I think
they're fantastic. I cannot wait. I think it's weird to wear a t-shirt of yourself normally, I think, shameless. But I think when it says number one in Armenia, it's the shirt I have to wear. Like, it's going to be my, like a cartoon character. It's what I'm going to wear every day.
I want it on my tombstone, Kaplan.
I'm going to be walking pancakes and, yeah, on the tombstone. Number one in Armenia, no matter what else you do. You could go to number one in America. It's not the same.
No, number one in Armenia is what people... That's how they introduce me now when I do these outdoor comedy shows. They go, this guy's the host of the Lost in America podcast, which just went to number one in Armenia. And guess what? Undefeated, it gets oohs and ahs every time.
All the hipsters in McCarran Park, they're impressed by that. You know,
they're very impressed by that, Kaplan. So for that, if you want to get that t-shirt, number one in Armenia, Go to patreon.com/lostinamerica, patreon.com/lostinamerica. If you sign up for us, $10 a month, you get those three extra episodes a week. Plus you get this t-shirt. We're losing money on the t-shirt, by the way. It costs more than $10 to make, and we'll send it to you for $10 a month subscription. Or if you don't want the subscription, if you just want the shirt, $25, you get the shirt. Pretty good. Speaking of Patreon, Cap, shout out to Will Pre-Chuck. He signed up. He heard the news. He got a $10 a month subscription last week, so he's getting a free t-shirt. All of our, and to answer a question, all of our subscribers, all of our current subscribers who were already given 10, 15, 20, they get shirts too. So we're losing a bunch of money just to kick this thing up.
Hey, it's worth it. The pod army, the Patreon army needs to be wearing these shirts. And yeah, if you are a podcaster, or if you're a podcast listener and you just don't have $5 a month, you're a real cheapskate, you can make it up to us by buying the shirt for $25.
We'll buy the shirt for 25 bucks. We'll send it straight to you. Cap, also, we want to say this is our best month ever. October 2020, best month ever for the podcast. The most amount of listeners, most amount of downloads. We want to welcome all the new people. We love you.
I want to say thank you. Last night was my birthday. I went out for my birthday. And, you know, when I was blowing the candle, I was saying I was going to wish for this podcast to blow up, but we already had it. So I thanked all the listeners when I blew out the candle.
That's good. What a mensch.
I didn't even wish for anything. I didn't ask for anything. I asked for them all to stay safe. All of our listeners.
Stay safe.
Just them.
Just the listeners, not just other pod listeners.
Nobody else. Oh, definitely not other pod listeners.
Nobody
else. Other pod listeners to get injured, get sick.
That's my other wish. And then we'll get on to this episode, is that for your birthday, I said, what can I do for Kaplan for his birthday? You know, gifts don't mean anything to Cap anymore. He's a big time famous podcast host.
Yeah.
So he can afford the, what do you get for the man who has everything? Well, you know what you get?
What's that?
I looked up the charts in stand-up comedy, the stand-up comedy charts for your birthday. We went to number 5 in Israel.
Oh my God. Number 5 in Israel. New t-shirt. I'll put it. It's better.
Limited time only.
That'll make my mom happy. And I wanted to say, because speaking of which, we've told our listeners in the past that you should, every time we post something on Facebook, you should say happy birthday or congrats to improve the algorithm.
Yes.
And when I posted something on my actual birthday, you wrote congrats.
I didn't write happy birthday.
You didn't realize it was my birthday. So
I did call you later, though. Kaplan, yes. Let's move on to today. We have the great Wary Nitschen is back on the pod in his own studio. I thought he was calling us from France. It turned out they went into lockdown 2 days ago. So he's here from Geneva. He's escaped to Geneva. He's
on the run.
He's on the run.
He's in his own bunker in Geneva.
There's a lot going on over there. What we're talking about today is free speech in France. It's come to a head, you know, because France has been the country. I'm going to start out with what I know about this topic.
You
can jump in. France has been the country of what all democratic countries aspire to is that the laissez, it's the free speech. It's do what you want. It's, hey, we won't tell you, especially religiously. We're not going to tell you how to practice your religion, but don't tell us.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of the way it goes. And then there was the Charlie Hebdo thing a few years ago, obviously not so good. And that brought up this idea of, what do we do now about what is protected and what isn't protected? And I can't pronounce the word. What's the word, Kaplan? The
laissez. We're going to ask. That's maybe one of our first questions, how to pronounce the word, because I don't know it either. But it means that the idea of French, like secularism, right?
Laissez or something like that. Laissez. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. It's the idea that France is that it's a open, free country. It's what I kind of just said. We won't tell you how to practice your religion. Don't tell us how to practice ours. Right. And then you tell them what happened a couple days ago.
Well, yeah. I mean,
a couple weeks ago,
you nailed it on the head. Like I feel like people have always looked up to France as this great liberal country. People back in the Iraq war days, they all said, oh, France is so great because people have always loved France. Right. And then, you see a couple last week, someone gets beheaded, or 2 weeks ago, a teacher gets beheaded. Now, I should preface this because I've thought about beheading a few teachers in my day. Let's be honest. I'm a parent. I can understand it. But he got beheaded because he showed the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad.
From a Charlie Hebdo magazine, right?
Right. Exactly. He was teaching a class on free expression.
And so then, he said, in our country, it's a country so great, I can show you this Muhammad cartoon and nothing will happen to me. Yeah. Well, 2 days later.
I guess it's irony, right? I don't know. But and then there was some protests. We don't know exactly what happened because this is what this podcast is for. We don't know. Cap,
well, then let me jump in if you don't know, because I'll say real quick. What happened is, because I want to catch everyone up to speed so we can set the table. What happened was this guy got beheaded. A few days later, someone else, a few other people got killed and beheaded, and the government put in a crackdown, which we need to find out what that means, because they put in a crackdown on Muslim activity in France.
Radical Islam.
Which sparked world protests, right?
Yeah, the whole world is protesting France, the whole Muslim world, I should say. They've stopped now, protesting America. They're protesting France. They're protesting France products. That's what we understand it.
And so, Weary, we're bringing you in now. Now, welcome to the show.
Hi, what an introduction.
You are. I also want to introduce you. You're a fantastic comedian.
He's been a recurring guest. He's been on our show.
You've been on before. I met you in New York City when you were out here doing comedy for a while. You tour around the world. You've touring Europe when you're allowed to, when there's no lockdown going on. And I want everyone to check you out at warynichen.com, NICHEN, WARYNICHEN.com. You have videos up there. Some are free. Some people can contribute money and pay to see you do your stand-up comedy. Welcome to the show. What did we get right in that brief history of France?
So first of all, the word you were looking for is laïcité. Laïcité.
I'm writing it down.
Laïcité. I mean, it's pretty much this is what happened. I mean, everyone is shocked, to be honest, in France to see what happened to the teacher, and also obviously the whole country was shocked after Charlie Hebdo. I don't know what happened recently. There was another guy who tried to go to their where they used to print the magazine. Obviously they moved since what happened, and he tried to go inside. We don't know what happened, and then he ended up stabbing two people that were just in front of the building smoking cigarettes, thinking that they would be part of the team, and which they were not, obviously. And I think also this is what made the teacher talk about the drawings, saying that this is freedom of speech, which means people can be offended, but France has this idea of even if you don't, even if you think that this is offensive, you should have the right to talk about any subject you want. And then there was something very strange that happened around this incident, where there was a parent that heard about this, and he went to the school to complain, and then he made a video about the teacher giving up his name and address. And this is what this is what they're trying to investigate to see if this was the connection. Or this is what made this guy go and wait for him outside, and then kill him. So it's just and as we're trying to process this, which is huge, and something else happened in Nice, where a guy went to the church and also killed three people. And I think there are two things, and this is what's happening in France. And the boycotting of French product is, I think, something else, where it started also with the Turkish president talking to Macron and asking his people to boycott French products. And then the Middle East also started to do this. So it's just a big mess. And honestly, it's not easy to understand what's going on. There is this fear also in France, because as a Muslim in France, you feel that you're trapped between two entities. You have extremists in one hand that try to, for I don't know why, like trying to protect the religion as if they were in charge of protecting the religion. And on the other hand, you have also some politicians or sometimes media, people that also use Islam as, I mean, talking about Islam all the day, you know, all day long, because it's a kind of a buzz, you know? So it's interesting for their audiences. And you just get trapped between these two, you know, extremism, to be honest.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, so this is kind of the situation now, but I think it's just I mean, no one just sat down and said, look, let's try to process what's happening, let's try to understand what's going on, and try what could be the best solution. It's just situation after like crazy stuff after crazy, like even politicians started to say crazy things, you know, like. Mixing everything, you know, like if you are a Muslim, you have to not do this, not do that, otherwise it could be associated to extremism. So it's, there is a big misunderstanding of what is religion, what is freedom, what is laïcité, like what exactly it means, and how to draw the line between what is allowed, what is not allowed, what is freedom, what is getting into other space.
Brings up a good question, because I'm sure we did a terrible job explaining it. What is laïcité? Did we explain it correctly, or what does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically this idea of the first thing of laïcité is like it's freedom of religion or not religion. And it's kind of separation between the state and the church, which means like the state is not Christian or Jewish or Muslim or anything like that. And what it says really, it's like that the government or the state is not able to recognize what is religious. Like if you are a priest wearing a priest robe, for example, and you go to administration. Technically, they're not officially able to tell that this is a religious robe. This is what it means, like laïcité. Like we're not able to recognize what is religion from what is not religion. But it's somehow turned into, we want you to dress in a way where we can't tell if you are Jewish, if you are Muslim, or if you are Christian, which is a different thing, you know?
Yeah,
which is what they banned the hijab in some experience.
Yeah, it's like, for example, you can't wear hijab in school, okay? You can't wear kippah in school, because if you do this, it's kind of, you're showing your religion, and now you're not part of the republic. I mean, like you're not respecting the republic as a laic. So because you are clearly saying, I am part of this community, and I am kind of showing off that I am Muslim or I am Jewish.
Yeah, what does an Orthodox Jewish person what do they do in Paris if they can't wear a kippah, a yarmulke in school?
I mean, in schools or in what is considered as public place. If you work in administration, you can't wear your kippah. Mm. For example, if you are. A governor, or if you are deputy, or you can't wear something that people would recognize as this is part of this community, right?
I see. Yeah.
So you're saying that's kind of a new interpretation, though. That wasn't always considered the law, as far as.
So when you see the law, and the law was very clear, like at the time when it was written, it was very, and it gave this example of like the priest that I gave. Like the law says, for example, if a priest has a priest robe as an agent of the government, I'm not officially able to say that this. It's like I'm blind. I can't see it. For me, it's
And now they want you to help that person out.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, like, this is why I say it's difficult to draw the line, because you can say, okay, I don't want to see any hijab, kippah, or cross. So, okay, you say, okay, I would do this, but then. When you are wearing, if you have a beard, for example, you have to say, this is not a religious beard. It's just a hipster beard. So it becomes very difficult to define. Right. So what is your...
Right, those pay us for the Jews. No, that's a hipster look now. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Hipster curls. Say,
this is just my hairstyle. I want to do it. It's so difficult. This is why the law was made, by the way, because it was so difficult to distinguish what would be a religious, like a scarf that you're wearing on your head, or it's just a do-rag or whatever, you know?
What about like rappers who wear Jesus crosses?
Exactly. Exactly. This is the thing. It's like, how can you define that this is just a look, or I want to be like a 50 Cent or something, or if it's religious? So that's why it's difficult. And then it became even more complex because they said, okay, in schools, hijab, kippah, and cross is banned. Okay,
banned.
So you can't go to. You basically don't go to a public school if you're a religious person. Then
yes, you can't go. You can't go to. Yeah. So they said okay, but then it started to get even further because they said, oh, we have a problem because some mothers that wear hijab are coming to the school to pick up their kids.
Oh boy!
And like the. You know, when you are near the school, we don't want to see this also. So it's also, let's make a law to ban hijab from, or religious signs near the school because it's a public institution. And if we see them, it means that they're clearly, showing that they are part of this religion. So they start to talk about this new, we have to extend the law to include also not only the school itself, but, what's surrounding the school.
Like a dress code for the people picking, like a kids, if they have a uniform in the school, the parents don't have the same uniform in America when we pick this kids up. Yeah.
It's always tricky because it will never end. Yeah. Then
it just go back to this idea that the state is blind to it? Like if you're in line, this happens a lot at like airports in the United States. I know that's not, I don't know if airports might be controlled by the state, but the airlines are not, but like a priest will be in line and they'll go, oh, father, go ahead. You go ahead. You know? So that's a simple example of like, well, if it's a state activity, they don't recognize, they don't let him skip the line because of who he is. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but I've seen it happen is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But when did that transformation take place?
Because
I know the law
most
is
of the time,
most
the of
a
the
couple
time.
Hundred years old, right? The law
yeah,
has been
it's
around
like,
in the Republic,
1905 or 1901.
Oh, 19. Right. Never mind. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Never mind.
I mean, that's so stuck. Well, I think 1905. The thing is, it was clear until some politicians started to use this law as a mean to just say that we don't want this type of people in this type of institution. Or the thing is, it's always they would always take something that is extreme, like
yes.
a woman wearing a burqa, And they would take this case and then they go, see, then we have a problem. And we have this case. It's very difficult to handle. So let's make a new law because it's clearly difficult to. But if you think about it, like how many people that they have burqa in France? Like, is it like that? You can just handle this problem. And the law is clear. So you're not allowed to cover your face in public places. You're not. You need to be identified and people can identify you.
Is that the reason why? Not to go too far down this rabbit hole of the burqa, but is that the reason why? Because they want to identify, or is it because what is the reason why they wanted to initially
It's so many layers. One of them is I think what happens is if you the difference between France and like the United States or like England is like in the UK or in the US it's okay to have communities different. It's okay to have like Chinatown. It's okay to have, it's not something seen as like, even in Chinatown, I remember you can see Chase Bank written in Chinese and it's like normal. It's okay.
Because yeah, it's almost cool. It's like, oh, look, I'm in Chinatown. But yeah.
And also it's because business oriented, you say we have a lot of people that speak Chinese. We want to talk to them. So it's better to, it's just efficient, you know?
Yeah.
But in France, this thing is kind of their fear. We don't want to have communities in the country.
You have to be French.
What is
you have to be French?
What is the current Muslim community? How long has the Muslim community been around in France and the level it's at now? And what does it look like in terms of like kind of what you're talking about, actual daily life? Is it certain neighborhoods or is it integrated? Or how does it work?
The majority of Muslims in France, I mean, the Muslim immigration is one of the latest one. Like it started, I guess, around 60s, 50s, 60s. Like after, you know, the movement of decolonization. And so there was a need of building the country, France. So they needed people to work and to make the, you know, working in like building the routes, you know, in buildings.
Yes.
So they asked a lot of North African to come to France and work in France. But their idea was that they would work and then go back to Africa. So that's why when you see if you go back and watch the videos back in those days, you would see they made kind of temporary housing in like the suburb where it's for the workers. They will work and then once it's done, they will go back to their country. Okay. What happened is like once you leave the country for 10-15 years, you have kids. I mean, it's not easy to go back. So you are part of your new country. So
yes.
People stayed and they were not like integrated since the beginning of the process. It was just, oh, so now you're here. So now we try to, you know, integrate this new community that joined us. And because it's different, because they're not Christian, it's Muslim. So there are differences. So there are things that you didn't know about like the Muslim community. Oh, they pray differently. They eat differently. So you have people that are completely fine with this and they see it as, you know, this is another immigration and this is how the country was made, France, like different waves of immigration. And others, obviously, they would say, oh, no, this is not, there is no connection between the Muslim community and France. They need to change. They need to, I mean, kind of, you need to become French. And when you say, what is your definition of French then? So what is it?
Yeah.
And it goes back to being white, maybe Christian or not religious, but, you know, you can celebrate, you know, the religious holidays, but just in Christmas, you know, style. Or
yeah,
if it gets too different, or if I don't understand it, it's just you're not trying to be French. You're trying to stay with your community. So this is why you have. And I'm trying to give you the extreme picture so that just you understand. It's not obviously not everyone is like this, but this is what is creating this tension. Like you have those who want, you know, to point out Muslims as they are not integrated to the community, and the others who, you know.
And to your point, I mean, we were reading stats just before we went on the air that said 70, after a survey they did last year in France, 70% of Muslims in France are in favor of laïcité.
Yeah.
If I pronounce that correctly. So what you said, so it goes to what you're saying is that these are extreme, this idea that we don't like it. So now we need to go around and take Muslim extremist views is that's pretty small. And then, is the other side small as well? The right wing the first question should be, sorry, is now they're doing crackdown measures, right? Against Muslim groups within France, maybe NGOs, but that's kind of all we're getting is the headlines out here that
right.
That
what is
Macron,
the crack, what does the crackdown mean basically?
Exactly. Yeah. What does the crackdown mean?
I think what happens is because the people were in shock. So this is what happens when you are like, I think when you are in charge. So you want to show your people that and your country that you are doing something. Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do is look, we are trying to do something. And so we would do this. So we will ban this. And for me, honestly, if this groups or association or NGOs needed to be banned, why do you would you wait until now to do it? Like, why? Like, if you had information and it needed to be banned, you should have done it before.
Maybe it's politically advantageous. Now it's easier politically to
do. It's just this thing that, oh, look, this is what we are, this is what we are doing. So we are taking actions, because what happened is, like, the last few years, every time something terrible happened, they would come on TV and say, we would be tough, we would do this, we would do that, but nothing was done. But this time, okay, it was a huge shock. So they said, you know what, we will actually do things and we will show you that we are doing things. And this is why also they're trying to, because they said we have a number of people that are extremists, mm-hmm, according to our, how do you call it?
Intelligence.
Yeah, community. Our intelligence, yeah. They are, yeah, extremists, but they are in, and they are, and they don't have papers, like they don't have, like they don't have any, like
they're not legal citizens, they don't have documentation, yeah.
So technically they should be you know, taken back to their countries, but it's so complex to do this, you know, because you have to go through a judge and blah blah blah. So now they're trying also to make it faster, so that's why they're going, okay, to, they went to Tunisia, they went to Morocco, Algeria next, I think next week, and they try to, you know, just those who are under the radar, they would just try to send them back there. And here again, also, it's the question is, why would you not do it before? It's just
right. Like after Charlie Hebdo, did anything happen? Or like we talk
after?
Do they? You're saying happened? They just didn't really do anything about it. These issues are.
No, I mean, what they would do is, like, they would they increased surveillance. They increased they would protect you know, like schools or, you know, synagogues, even mosques, because you have also the other, like every religious place would be a target, you know, either by white supremacists or by religious extremists. Like they started to put people like, from police and the military to, you know, just protect those areas. So they did something, but obviously it was not enough. And this time the events that happened last week and like 2 weeks ago was so shocking that this is why they're trying to just show people that we are doing stuff.
Doing
just to clarify, yeah, one thing, because I think I said it incorrectly in the intro, but it wasn't a parent who actually did the beheading, right? It was like somebody organized.
It was someone came in from a foreign country, right?
It was
a young guy coming from a foreign country. But what they're trying to see is, was he influenced by the video made by the guy?
Right.
The guy gave the name of the teacher, because otherwise he couldn't have the name of, because there is no link apparently between this young man and the teacher. So they are trying to understand, how did he get his name? How did he get the address of the school?
Yeah.
And also, this is another element that also is under like huge discussion now. It's like the role of social media, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and the fact that they don't, there is no surveillance of what's said, what is done. You know,
so what? Well, I guess here's a question. I have a lot of questions, so I'm trying to figure out which one's best to go with. But has this, I guess, from the, if they're taking the side of the Muslim extremists, their goal is to stop people from drawing this image. Is that correct? The image of Muhammad.
I think first of all, so just to understand, I mean, what is it about this drawing? Like, why is it so complex to understand? In Islam, it's forbidden to like draw or represent the Prophet.
Sure.
It's something, it's like blasphemy. So you can't do it. But this is, if you are part of the religion, like this is, if you believe in religion,
sure.
If you're not, I mean, it's, if you want to do it, you go ahead and do it. And what is even more interesting to say about this is like those who are saying, oh, we are trying to protect the Prophet by doing this. Mm-hmm. We don't want people to attack the Prophet or insult him. In the like when you learn religion in the time of Prophet, he was insulted like at his time. Like he was insulted by other people. He had to leave his the city of Mecca and move to another city because people were mean to him, and like he was not just drawings. We're talking like physical attempt and he never took revenge, and he could have done this because at some point he was powerful enough to like just kill anybody he wanted to like if he yeah. wanted to take revenge. So it shows that there is no religious
like connection.
Connection to, I mean, and plus, who are you to protect the Prophet? I mean, like, yeah. why? Like, why would yeah. he wait for you, like 20 years old guy? And most of them, they have the same profile. They are young. They have criminal records, or they don't have
a girlfriend.
Psychological problems. Yeah. It's always the same type of yeah. profile when you look at it. So there is this thing. So even if you are offended, and you can say, oh, I'm offended to see, because some drawings are also racist. Because there is one of the drawings where they you can see like the Prophet and having a bomb, and it's very disrespectful, and it could be like, and you can go to the court, you can like complain, you can try to find legal ways to say I don't like it, or but you can never go and be aggressive and like kill someone. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. These are it's insane. As a comedian, do you? I don't know. I would assume you probably maybe don't talk. I don't know if you talk about religion in your act at all. But do you worry at all traveling around talking about this stuff?
I mean, I talk about religion. I obviously I don't like. I'm not a. You know, you have this type of comedian that like shocking the audience.
Yeah.
I'm not this type. I understand this. I sometimes enjoy people like that have acts that are shocking and provocative.
Like Turner.
It's not my style. Like you have to be very, it should be your persona. Natural. On stage. Yeah. You know, you can't just start doing it.
Should be genuine too.
Yeah.
Also. And you have also, for me, you have to know what you're talking about. You can't just be shocking just to be shocking.
Oh, in America, you don't have to know what you're talking about, I don't think.
And this is for me very tricky, because if you start, you know, saying things.
I agree with you, by the way.
It's and I see, not even in religion. Like I see it sometimes. You remember, you know, I think, you know, being racist on stage used to be because you were trying to make an exaggeration of what a racist would say.
Yes.
You go, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this, he said, like you're trying to exaggerate something. But I feel like now people are just saying these things and thinking, oh, I'm, you know, I'm edgy. No, man, it's not you're edgy. It's just,
we
you're
call
racist.
It the Louis C.K. shift. he's now like a champion of the right wing comedy world.
Or
you can say that he didn't change at all and society changed around him, whatever way you want to say it. I don't know. So what are the, do you know what the exact, this seems tough. Cause as you're saying, Muslims would not want to draw, like you can't draw. It's blasphemy to draw an image of the Prophet, but in French law, blasphemy is protected.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's there's a conundrum.
So yeah. So there's what's no the blessing. Solution? Do you know what? For me,
if you want to draw, you go ahead and do it. There is no. I mean, there is. It's not. I mean, if you start applying a law that is connected to one community to the whole country, it becomes very difficult. Because mm-hmm. then how? What's the limit? You know, you can say, oh, for me, it's blasphemy to do this and that. So you go, oh, I mean, it's complicated. So for me, the law is just. Is it legal to do it in France? Yes, it's legal. You can, if you want to draw anyone you want. I mean, they draw God. I mean, it's even It's crazy. Yeah. Like they do. I saw Charlie Hebdo, just to talk about this. I saw drawings of Jesus that I was shocked because for us also he's a prophet.
Yeah.
So I saw things that are very shocking.
Did he have, not have a six pack in the drawing? Because
it was something very, very, I mean, I don't know, disrespectful. Like there was like a penis in his head and something just.
Jim. Yeah.
So like, why would you do something like that? But then again, this is your right. You want to do it, just go ahead and do it. For me, we just, my reaction is I would not buy your magazine. This is the thing.
Vote with your wallet.
So it's weird that blasphemy, you can have blasphemy being protected, but you don't actually protect the religion, like the religious ability to have like wear, like there should be some sort of, if you can wear a kippah or a hijab, I feel like there should be some movement toward, like, is there not an argument that we should be allowed to do this if you're allowed to make fun of our religion? Is that sort of,
technically you are, I think for me, it's also a misunderstanding of what is religion. Because if you are not religious and you could say, for example, oh, like this is another rule that this is another argument that you hear a lot in France. They would say, so if you have a kippah or if you have a hijab, why don't you just do it in the private, like if you are when you are home, you know? So and once you go outside in public space, you have to just take off this and like be like neutral. But this is a misunderstanding of the religion, because if you are religious, you are religious all the time. If you have to wear a kippah, you can't just decide, oh, I will wear it just when I'm at home. Oh, and this is where there is the misunderstanding. They would go, oh, because for me, you know, when I play jazz, I just play jazz at home. So it's personal. So the religion should be like this. So it's personal. And this is why also it's complex to say, oh, no, but these guys are not trying to impose anything to, you know, the other people. They're just doing their thing.
So what is the, because all the headlines we're getting is that people are protesting this worldwide, what Macron's doing with the crackdowns, which I'm still not 100% sure what the crackdowns are. In reality, what he's done a couple things we've read, But the protests a lot of times that we're reading about are happening in Bangladesh and other places around the world. Are people protesting are French Muslims protesting in France as they are in other countries?
No, because I think what happened, I haven't seen his speech. I think he talked at some point and he said that, we defend the right to blasphemy and like to, you can say whatever you want and blah, blah, blah. And we will keep like showing the drawings if needed. And I think this is what triggered the reaction of the other countries, where they said, why would you insist on doing this? You know, why would you? And they, as a reaction, they said, so if you are going to do this, if you are kind of inviting like people to go and show the drawings and like be, you know, what he would call free to, you know, talk about any subject. So then we would decide to boycott your product, which is, I mean, it's just ridiculous. This is why I said, I mean, it's for me, I haven't seen everything to understand like fully what's going on, but this is my impression of the things. But again, for me, it's if you are religious, I mean, I kind of have two messages, like leave the religious alone and leave the non-religious alone. Just everyone.
That seems like the French business. That's like the French ethos, right? Which I think is great, by the way.
Yeah.
Everyone do your own thing.
Do your thing. Just why would you try to make others not do what you want? Or it's just so weird to impose things.
And that is an important point, because what the headlines are that Muslim people are protesting Macron's ruling in favor of free speech, that ruling, Muslim people are protesting it. But you're saying the nuanced opinion, they're not saying that Muslim people in France.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're just saying Muslim people, meaning like around the world, but the Muslim people in French might have, as you do, a more new, almost a blended opinion.
It's in France, it's way different, because first you have you have, I mean, people are still shocked about what happened. So sure. It's not the time to, you know, try to make things worse and try to protest or do anything like that. It's more of, okay, look, we are also shocked and we're not part of this. We condemn what's happening. But at the same time, I mean, we condemn also those who are mixing everything and asking, like sometimes they would ask Muslim to condemn things as if it was not the case. Like, oh, what do you think about what happened? Like what did Al-Qaeda, like, are you against it? Of course. I mean, what do you think? You think it's so crazy sometimes this, like, oh, I've never heard like the Muslims talking about this or that, as if like there was a conference and like you were invited and then you had to do, like,
you all have meetings to decide. Yeah. It's something that they never ask white people to do.
Yeah. After shooting, like, you never say,
let's say a majority, whatever country might be the majority, whatever culture might be the majority in a country. You never ask the majority, like, what do you think about this? It's if it happened in a minority group, then you ask anyone from the group represents the whole group. I mean, which is, I don't know why that is, but it seems to be the case. That people have decided. What about online? I don't know if we 100%, I do think we need it, although it's gruesome, we need to explain exactly what we're talking about in all this, that the killer beheaded the teacher and then took a picture of it and put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right. And then in the second killing, one of the three people was also beheaded. And you touched on this earlier, the social media aspect. I'm really curious, this laïcité law, and also what lengths France goes to protect free speech, fascinates me, because in America recently, they just, all the social media companies have decided to start censoring conspiracy
political things,
QAnon, political conspiracy theories from social media, so people don't read it right before the election and then learn something that isn't actually true. Are they doing the same things in France?
But this is what they're trying to do. So they have a platform in France that is normally here to do some kind of censorship of things that are forbidden, for example, like images like this one. This should be,
be online.
Yeah, it should not be online. So, because the thing also is, after these images, the image was posted, there was people that were sending alerts that this image should not be online, and it took so long before they took it out of Twitter. So this is also what was discussed, because how come it takes that long to, stop something like this? Why sometimes when you see a naked woman, it takes like 2 seconds and then bam, it's not there. Mm. So it's just
it's a great,
sometimes they have this
French response. Why can't we see our naked women? Come on.
No, the reaction was not. And they have this platform, and I think they have, I don't know how many people work there, but they are supposed to follow up with the alerts and then take off and stop images, like shocking images. So, and also now they're trying to make the social media companies responsible of what they are doing, because those companies, they also use this card of, we can't do moderate and we can't censorship the freedom of speech. So anyone can do whatever he wants and blah, blah, blah. So it's not our responsibility. So now they're trying to change the law in a way where it is your responsibility what's happening on your platform. So you can't just say, we can just make everything online and then...
So the argument in America is that they're censoring. Once you let the social media companies do the censoring, then all of a sudden the social media company gets to censor what they want to, but not what they don't, what they don't like, but not what they do like.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So is that the same issue as France? Concerned about that?
It's the same issue, because it's tough to, but the thing is, for me, it's more of, if you, because I think what happened with the social media companies is they had only the advantages of freedom of speech, which means we can make money collecting data, putting online whatever we want, but then we would not spend any of this money to moderate or to try to see how we can improve our algorithms. And so this is the thing, it's like you're not spending the money to make your platform like a safe place for everybody. So if someone is shooting or if someone is doing terrible thing, you should have a system in place that at least tries to stop this as soon as possible and not just play this, oh, we are not here to censor, you know, people. You see what I mean? It's just saying, because you're making so much profit from it, you should invest in something at least and try to prove that it's not biased. And the idea is not to make you decide of what should be online or not, but at least, but I think that we all agree on, like, you know, saying this picture.
Yes.
I mean, we start like this. We start with this, like the most clear stuff. And then we would see, it's just, I mean, I don't know if you followed the Zuckerberg when he went to the Senate and he was like trying to explain.
Yeah, he said it was a town square. He said, Facebook is a town square. You can't limit what people say in a town square.
This is crazy. They should, you know that they don't even pay taxes in Europe. It's crazy. Like,
well, they're based out of California, right?
It's universal. Everyone hates Facebook.
What's crazy for America. France, though, or really, which I never even thought about this, but literally any other country that's not the U.S., not only are they deciding free, it's foreign people deciding what's allowed to be. It's from someone from another country deciding what's allowed to be online in your country.
Well, they could get their own Facebook then. You know, invent the French book. I mean, come on.
You know
French
what? This is what I it might be surprising, but I changed my mind about China. You know, the fact that they're stopping like Google and Facebook. I was like,
Now it sounds kind of smart, right?
And so like, it's like they are right. I mean, I'm not saying that what they're doing is okay, but the idea of saying we should have our own Facebook, our own Google, and our own, I think it's also interesting.
It is. Well, it's in the name of, I don't know. I don't think I'm allowed to get into it.
Speaking of government,
I need to go back to China at some point. So
yeah, exactly. Is Macron, how popular is he still in France? Is he, because he seems to us like someone who's, I don't know, with the, we talk about like Justin Trudeau in Canada and the woman in New Zealand. And like one of those popular younger, he has an older wife, but he seems like a popular leader, especially among young people. But is this turning off? Like, are people?
I think it's changing. He was in the same vibe of Trudeau and
cool guy with the older broad,
like the Obama, the new Obama,
yeah.
And people, but it started to be like this. Because when he came, he made something. I mean, that was new in France, because you used to be like in the U.S., like Democrat or Republican, so like right or left. And he took people from like everywhere, and then just made this new party. It's like En Marche. We called En Marche, which
was
like
middle
new.
French.
That's
how you say
all middle. It's new. It's like it never existed before. It's like creating a new party and winning the election. It was like something never seen before.
Yeah.
So and then we started to see that he is just like a guy here to help like rich people, capitalists, like, and now they're starting to, oh, okay, we see the picture.
Because you have the situation where you're also in France, you have Le Pen is the party. What's the name of the actual party? Is it called Le Pen? Or?
Rassemblement National.
Yeah. It's like the very right wing. that sounds like,
Kevin goes, right, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I don't know what a name is. So it's the right wing party, but I guess the difference was, in America, right-wing parties are very religious normally, and a lot of. But I guess in your country, would it not be because they're very French nationalists? And this French, do they support the Cité, whatever? And they obviously are not pro-Muslim. I'm assuming.
This is a very good question, because it used to be religious, like a Christian religious, but it's I think France is also trying. It's shifting, and it's becoming more of laïc. In a way that religion is not part of the the government.
It's not part of it at all, one way or the other. Yeah.
So
even if
the core base is still like Christian or like very, not very religious as in the US, it's just they have this tradition. Like they would say, if you are in France, you should be celebrating Christmas, even if you're not religious. This is the thing. Like you should be celebrating
Christmas. No war.
Yeah, it's like doing, you know, La Toussaint, like what happened yesterday, November 1st, which you call Halloween.
October 31st.
October 31st for us is Halloween. But maybe you do it November 1st.
Yeah, it's 31st.
Crazy.
November 1st. It's like La Toussaint. What's the before Halloween? It was because it was a Christian holiday.
I think it was a pagan holiday.
The pagans, yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe they got their own holidays. They have so many holidays in France, in Europe.
Because I'm not exactly.
Like, this is why it's like the, you know, it's scary and like it's the dead and blah blah blah.
Day of the Dead. Is that what you're talking about? No.
Day of the Dead is a Mexican holiday, which don't think, this is me blowharding here.
Yeah, blowharding on it.
I don't think it actually relates to Halloween. I think we just decided it did 20 years ago, but actually they looked into it. It has no real relation to Halloween.
I was going to say, are they going to get more popular as a result? Is that the fear too, that this nationalist?
I think Trump made them all believe that it could happen. So right. So and everyone is now, you know, trying to reproduce that.
Yeah.
See, basically, I'm just looking through some stuff here, some French law stuff. It says this is so
French
interesting.
Law books.
That's what I do on a daily basis. I just I got nothing to do. I look through French law. It says it's legal to denigrate a religion. It's legal to denigrate a religion, but not to insult or incite hatred of any individual based on that religion. So I guess you can say whatever you want. Yeah. Well, so how does that square? How do those go together?
Like technically, if you're not religious, if you not believe in religion, you can make fun or you can. Yeah. This is, I think, what it be mean by denigrate. Yeah. You can make fun of like the religious people. But you cannot make.
Incite hatred. Well,
incite hatred. Yeah,
behead someone. Yeah,
beheading is against the law.
Yeah,
but
that's
what's
how I read that.
Yeah. What's interesting is this is the law, okay? But in real, like what happens on the media? If you go like the Fox News or the CNN, French CNN, you would see all day long debates about Muslims. Like, and this is not just now, it was like maybe the last 5, even 7 or 10 years, all day long question about like why is it like this, do we need them here, are they doing this, are they doing that, why do they eat like this, why how can we separate, always question and always crazy question, like and they take examples, sometimes they find people, I don't know how. And they go, oh, so now you are representing all Muslims in France now, you. So what do you think about? And they go, oh, see, Muslims think like this. It's like,
yeah.
It's so crazy. So, and one, I heard one time, there was this media, he said, we have the right to be Islamophobic.
Yeah.
I mean, and whoa. You have the right to be racist, I guess. Yes, it's a free speech.
You can't, I mean, this is where... At some point, they just when it gets like to the racism or like hatred, they go behind. Oh no, no, it's freedom of speech. I can denigrate religion. I can say whatever I want. It's just, and this is why it's not. It's like people from both sides trying to just make things worse, like and not talking to each other and not trying to say, oh look, what's the best way to handle this situation?
Right, in a respectful way.
Well, they see America. Yes. Well, I don't agree with your opinion, but I'll defend it. I'll defend you to the death, to the right to say it. So it's always free speech is always easy when you agree with the person.
Of course.
Right? Free speech is only really tested when you absolutely don't agree with them.
Yeah.
But they're still allowed to say it.
What's the French Fox News? I didn't know you guys did that.
It's really going to Fox News. Like, it's because Fox News, they are clear. They would go, we are for Trump, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In France, it was not allowed. Like, you, as a journalist, you were not allowed to give your opinion. As
used to be here either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be.
I'm just wondering what there's. I'm picturing some real babes on the French Fox News. That's what I was going to get. I want to check it out.
But I think what happens is like this. There was, like in the movies with Hollywood, something happened with CNN, Fox News that made French TV try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Money. Yeah, so I think money.
Money. Yeah.
Money. Exactly. Money. Yeah. And also when you shock people, people would watch you and then will, you know, share these videos on online and blah, blah, blah. So some people understood this. And that's why now it's like talking about Islam and Muslims. And there is one guy, he was condemned 3 times for hatred and incitation to hatred. 3 times. And he's still on TV all day long. Like, imagine... You know, Cuomo.
We can imagine him. You know him?
No,
get him?
His brother.
Chris Cuomo?
Chris, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and having, like, been condemned in justice 3 times and still having his show, like, being, like, racist and still having the show
like
every
Rush
day.
Limbaugh. We have a guy like Rush Limbaugh who's probably similar.
They get ratings is the point. So
they get
people watch it. So I also want to add one thing that I, so when we're asking, what is the crackdown? What is actually happening in the crackdown? You might know this. I don't know if you do, but Baraka City is a humanitarian, a pro-Muslim they're kind of watchdog group for anti-Muslim hate, a humanitarian NGO, and they have been shut down by the government.
Saying it's a cover or something?
The government saying they're a cover for radical Islam. Another one is, I can't pronounce this, Le Collectif Contre Islamophobe in France.
Wait.
Islamophobe, I know what that means.
It's like
they're against Islamophobia.
But this is the thing.
The government threatened to shut down them, but it's not done it yet. But basically, they're going out. They're trying to find groups that might be harboring or protecting Islamist extremists, and then they're shutting down those groups.
Yeah. I discovered this also. It's like I've heard about this groups before, but I don't know what they do exactly. I don't know. It's just they said, oh, so now they have information that they were hiding something, or they had connections with like some extremists, or I don't know. And for me, this is something that you should do. I mean, not now. I mean, if you had information, you should just
I guess the issue, and you talked about it earlier, is that these couple of people who have beheaded these people and killed people should be punished for what they've done. And then, as you said, the idea of you practice your religion, I practice my religion, you don't practice your religion, whatever it is, everyone goes about their lives. They should be treated as individuals and not an indictment on the 70% that we read of Muslims in France who are in favor of laïcité.
You're not gonna get it.
Is that maybe the solution?
Yeah, I mean, the solution is just to be if you have a problem, you solve the problem. You don't make general rules or laws trying to make a law every time something crazy happens. It's not like this, because there are things that are clear, you know, someone killing someone, making like terrorist organization. These things, the law is here to protect people from this type of kind of people. So you just apply the rule that exists, you know. And this is even when they made this they started to make a new law about laïcité and like trying to ban the hijab and keep on blah blah blah. The previous law was clear. I mean, it's even the burqa when they had this issue with the burqa, The law was already there. It was already clear. And you just have to apply this law to
just
the,
apply
to
the law.
Yeah, it seems like an unnecessarily hostile thing to, even if it's a law, to enforce, like not wearing a burqa, not wearing, you know, if people, that to us as Americans at least, but do you think the French people, I guess, let me ask you this. When I was in the past decade or so, I'm Jewish, and I feel like I've constantly reading stories about Jews leaving France. And because we're kind of getting it on both sides, there's like a hard right element. And then there was the radical Islam was becoming more of a problem towards the Jews of France. Was that kind of overblown, do you think? Or do you think like it's like some, like, as we say, like it's like some people, some majority of people are living peacefully? Or do you think, or is this still an issue that's, I mean, I want to visit France and wear my kippah, I guess I'm trying to say.
I mean, you can definitely visit France and wear your kippah. There is no, the thing is like, it's like, you know, before going to Mexico, I worked in Mexico. Before going to Mexico, I was watching the news. And also I was like, oh, you can't go outside. There are gangs everywhere. Yeah. And then I lived in the city. I was driving by myself. I was like going everywhere. Of course, there are areas where you can't go. I mean, and this is everywhere, even in New York, even in, sure. So you have to be, you know, careful. But it's, the thing is, I think what, for me, the problem in France is like sometimes because there is an interest and political interest in some like elections or whatever, they would try to make something that is happening in one particular case, and they make it like as it was general and like everywhere.
That
people
happens
like
everywhere.
This.
Yeah, because I've read so many articles. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get at. I've read so many articles without like about anti-Semitic acts in France, and I don't know if it's really on the rise. You know what I mean? Or if it's just a thing. It becomes like for clicking. You know, we want to read articles and.
Yeah, of course. And I think also what's happening, and this is what you can see also in the U.S. and everywhere. What's happening now with social media is like violence is kind of promoted right. Everywhere. And so when you start talking about like these violent events, it just makes people, you know, read more about it, think more about it, and make crazy people go and do crazy
and
stuff.
Do it. Yeah.
While before we just never heard about this story because it was just something happening in one village and then nobody hears, like, except the people who live there. But yeah. Now if something happens in Bangladesh, you know, crazy, you go, oh, see, this is crazy. And everyone is watching this. And it becomes like as if it was near you, you know. This is why everywhere it's getting, you know, people. I mean, this is even not. I don't know if you noticed this about comedy. Sometimes you post a video about comedy. It's comedy, and you have these crazy comments. Like now, yes. They're way more violent than before.
Yes, yes. Everyone's charged up, amped up about everything.
Especially
the
people from Azerbaijan.
Yeah, they don't like us very much from a podcast a few weeks ago. But I think that's it. We're about out of time. I think that's the reason why we do this show, Kaplan.
Yeah, to learn.
So you get the real stories from comedians who are not basically regular people.
No agenda. It's just
no agenda. Yeah, not anyone's exactly. Making a career as a political commentator.
And you're now on the run, right? You're escaping from coronavirus. So we should.
You're in Geneva. We were lucky enough to perform in France because I know in New York you're not you just do rooftops, but we were still allowed to perform until 2 days ago when there was a confinement. So I escaped to move to Switzerland we can perform here.
Oh, you can't perform in Switzerland.
Switzerland's their numbers.
But
lower,
I think tomorrow they will announce a new confinement.
You just got to keep moving to where you can perform. Go to Sweden. They don't have rules there, but
just keep going.
I felt better about Americans because the French, I saw all like everybody was out at all the restaurants the night of the lockdown, like one last meal. They were doing the same thing we did in New York, like in March. When
you say we, you mean you, Kaplan.
Yeah,
I didn't do
you
that.
Made fun of me, but now I feel
better.
I did
make fun of you, and I stand by it.
You know, the French last day. When he announced, he said the confinement will start like the day after tomorrow. Okay, so the last day outside, it was like there was just Tom Cruise missing, running with his daughter. It was just like the end of the world. Like everyone was trying, packing, going, you know, out of the country or eating or like singing. It was crazy.
Singing. They all do that. They gotta say the lockdown started 2 hours ago. Yeah. That's the way you announced it.
You missed it.
You can't say it's starting in 2 days. It's like chaos. All right, that's it. That's the episode. Worry, thanks for doing America. It, man.
Thanks, man. Always a pleasure.
Great seeing you.
You were the best. Kaplan, that's it. One more time, check out Wary. Wary Nichen, WaryNichen.com. We will have the link in the description of this episode to check out his videos. And Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
Time to get lost.
Get lost.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.